This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. The month of April is Child Abuse Awareness or Child Abuse Prevention Month. I've kind of seen it both ways, but we are covering the topic in a number of interviews, and it looks like this will be kind of wrapping it up, talking with folks from Family, Faith, and Relationship Advocates. The executive director is Robert Miller, and the Safe Families Program Director, Liberty Dryden. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having us.
You have to do more than nod.
Oh, thanks for having us.
There we go. Well, this is her first time on the radio. Well, she'll figure it out. So, first of all, Robert, can I just give people an overview if they're not familiar with what FAR is all about?
Absolutely. We're a 501c3 nonprofit mental health agency. We provide any given day underneath the FAR umbrella therapeutic services for children, families, couples, individuals in crisis, those that have dealt with trauma. We have parenting education that we're really proudful about in our TIPS classes and in our PAT classes. In our youth crisis program, we're in schools offering different opportunities and support and resources for youth experiencing homelessness or on the margins or in crisis. We're working in conjunction with the schools to actually create a new program called the YES Program, Youth Empowerment for Success, where it's a piloted project where we're going into the schools and providing a class, an emotional intelligence class, where youth can get an idea of their story and be able to walk through their struggles and come out of it in a much healthier fashion. We work in our community with our domestic violence program. Basically, in a nutshell, what we're trying to do is build wraparound services so that families and children in crisis can be supported. And the only program I haven't said yet that we're also involved in is our Safe Families program, which is what Liberty's involved in, and she's going to share more about that as well.
And how long has FAR been around?
In November 18th, we'll have our five-year anniversary. I hope to have a big block party and welcome everybody. We're pretty proud of the work that's been done in 5 years.
Wow, and you picked an interesting five-year period in American life.
Yes, we did. We opened up and then COVID decided to come in not too long after we opened up.
Wow, crazy time. So, Liberty, talk about how you got involved in this.
So, I have a little bit of a varied background. I spent about 15 years in insurance, even though that was not my dream or passion. And after that, I transferred to the education community and just kind of went through a progression of the level I was able to be involved in kids and families' lives. And so as much as I love education, when an opportunity at FAR opened, working with children and families, I couldn't pass that up.
Wow. Well, we're going to talk more about your program here in a second. Robert, how are you guys funded?
I love that question because we just started and got approved for billable services. So that was a five-year journey that we're really excited about. But up until this point, through multiple different fundraisers, local donors, multiple grants, unpaid for services, some of our services are paid for. We try to take away the barriers, which is finances. And so most of our services are offered free or very low charge.
Well, getting to that point now really is probably a game changer for you guys.
It is going to be. We will. Most agencies don't get to this point. We're really proud that we're there. We won't have to claw and scratch for the finances to keep the lights open, and we'll be able to actually be able to create more services and bring in more staff.
And speaking of, how many staff do you have?
This time last year, we had 3, and we have 18 staff right now.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you people who had a big, open, lots of room office area, not quite so much now.
We had a beautiful building with all these empty rooms, and every single room is filled with staff working with clients in crisis. It's an amazing thing to watch.
Wow. That's pretty cool. So Liberty, talk about Safe Families. What's the program all about?
So Safe Families is an international program that was founded in 2003 by a gentleman named Dave Anderson, who realized there was not really an agency or program out there that could help families in crisis or trauma before they fall into child welfare or abuse and neglect. And so he created Safe Families to keep children safe and families together by hosting children with volunteers, to keep them safe and cared for while mom and or dad do what they need to do to make their home safe for their children again.
And does this approach you end up interacting with DHS or other agencies as well?
We do. We interact with a variety of other agencies. We have a great relationship with our local DHS, working with families to avoid child welfare intervention, or after child welfare has intervened and helped get them back on track, we can jump in again to help support them as they get their families together and their children back in their home.
So when you talk about temporarily hosting children, what's the length range of time?
So the nationwide average is about 6 weeks, but it can be anywhere from what we call a day hosting, which is a couple of hours during the day if mom or dad needs to go to court or they have a doctor's appointment or they have therapy or things like that that they don't want to take their children to and they don't have anywhere else for them to go, up to overnight, weeks, sometimes even months.
And I imagine, especially with this population, sometimes there's, you know, a lot of people have lived in a community for a while. If something happened, they could find somebody fairly quickly and they would have 10 or 15, you know, friends, family members to choose from. But not everybody's that fortunate.
No, they're really not. And I think what I'm finding is, like you, I would think that people would have a support system when they experience a crisis. But there's a lot of people out there that don't have family. They don't have friends. Or maybe they have family and friends, but they're not safe people for their children to be with if they need care. And so that's kind of where Safe Families comes in, with volunteers who are willing to wrap around them with a variety of supports to help them get back to where they need to be.
Now, for the families that are helping, I suppose you've got to kind of go through a vetting process with them.
Absolutely. All of our volunteers go through a criminal background check, fingerprinting, an application process, and then some kind of basic child care training before they can have children in their care.
And is it limited to how many they could have at a time?
It is not. We are strictly volunteer based. And so it kind of depends on the family situation and what they're able to handle. But it can be a single child, or we recently had an opportunity for a hosting with five children.
Now, would they generally be, though, from the same family, or are there situations where they might be helping with two different families and situations at once?
That's a really good question. I think there's definitely a possibility of helping multiple families at once. But for the last year, as I've been in charge of this program, we've generally had one family with one host family at a time.
Well, and that actually makes sense the more I think about it, because whatever the situation, maybe it is just a basic, you know, couple hours situation, but maybe there's a lot of issues going on. You kind of don't need to have two separate situations to, you know, intersperse from each other, probably, especially in terms of helping the kids who are having their own struggles, maybe, and then maybe the best thing is to help them and not have them, you know, kind of feed off of whatever another situation might be.
Absolutely. A lot of these kids have experienced trauma on some level, and so we think it's very important to surround them with all the support we can and to really focus on their individual situation instead of having to break it up between two different families and scenarios.
How many kids were able to be helped by this last year?
Oh, goodness, that's a good question. I should document this better, to be fair. Locally, we have probably worked with about 30 kids in the last year. Some of them are isolated incidents, and some of them are long-term. We have a family that we've been working with for about 3 years that we step in to support them whenever they need it. And some we have, you know, a court hearing or a scenario, and we may not see them in person again.
Wow, a lot going on. We're going to talk more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn of Lawn and Garden Show with the Commissioner of Dirt later this afternoon. On tomorrow's Inside Douglas County program, we are going to be talking to Douglas County Commissioner Tom Kress, talk about grants that they're working on and trying to find some funding to update the county's radio and communication system. So, Commissioner Tom Kress on tomorrow's program. It is a Child Abuse Prevention Month, and Robert Miller is Executive Director of Family, Faith, and Relationship Advocates, and Liberty Dryden is the Safe Families Program Director in here this afternoon. Now, what about these families that are helping you? Where do you find these people?
So the majority of our volunteers are found within the church and faith community. We are, again, strictly voluntary, and so we have people helping who are not paid. They are doing this because of a love and care for families and children, and we found that the faith community are the majority of people who are willing to help with such a huge need without financial compensation.
And, I mean, you think about, I would guess that some of these are scheduled ahead, and some of them, it's you may get a phone call, and you may have a kid over there in half an hour.
That's exactly how it works. Sometimes we know days, even weeks in advance, and sometimes we get a call that says we need a placement today or in the next hour. And so we do everything we can to accommodate whatever situations come to our attention.
Yeah, and those, you know, because crises are not always scheduled ahead.
They're sure not.
which is why they're called crises. Just like, having a flat tire. You didn't plan to do that Thursday at 2.
Right.
When it would have been convenient. It just happens at the worst possible time. And when these situations happen, you're dealing with families with various structures as well. I mean, you may have a single parent with one kid or multiple kids. You may have parents that are divorced or separated that get along and can help each other, or ones that don't.
Or sometimes not even parents. Sometimes it's grandparents or an aunt or uncle that has care for them.
Now, talk about one of the other things in the information you guys provided as well was family coaches. What's their role?
So we have a variety of roles within Safe Families, and it is structured in a way that people can help at any level, regardless of their abilities. And so our family coaches are people who are kind of self-explanatory. It's people who are willing to come in and wrap both the hosting family and the placing family with support and services to encourage them and to just kind of keep an eye on things and make sure that a hosting is going smoothly and that the placing works.
And what about the, family friends. Let's talk about that one.
So family friends is one of the roles that I suggest for people who are like, I don't have room in my home, or I've already raised my kids and I don't want to raise kids again, but they still want to help. So family friends are people who maybe provide transportation, or maybe they bring them groceries or take mom or dad shopping. Or who maybe just donate things that the families need, whether that's clothing or hygiene items or similar things.
And do you find that a lot of the people that have these situations have a lot of need, not just in the crises, but in these material things? Maybe money's hard to come by, or you're not employed currently, or that kind of thing.
They sure do. These situations frequently come from addiction or homelessness, job loss, hospitalization. And so a lot of times there's not just one need. There's a variety of needs. And we try to provide what we call a circle of support to support the families at every level.
Now, the parents that are asking for the help, how do they get connected with you guys?
So there's a handful of ways. Families are more than welcome to call us directly if it's something they're aware of. We get referrals from DHS. We've had referrals from Umpqua Health Alliance, UCAN in a variety of their services. So most of them tend to come from community partners, but occasionally we'll get a direct call from a parent.
And Robert, you've seen obviously rapid growth, and what have you seen just in terms of watching it yourself with what this program has done?
It's an answer to prayer, Kyle, because when she's talking about helping these parent, these families in crisis, the reason why I built FARA was not just for parenting education, because that's what this particular client needs. My hope was to build a plethora of services so that you might come in the front door, the back door, the side door, but once you're in, we're going to recognize the other needs, the other missing skills or the crises that might not be up front but are in the back rear. And so we're able to wrap around with some of the Safe Families clients by offering parenting education through our youth program. We can offer them our, some of our food pantry, our clothing room, our learning lab. So we might get a client in one of our programs, but we are building the other programs to help literally wrap around that circle of support. And so being able to watch what's happened in the last year, and Liberty's done a phenomenal job, because we opened up Safe Families in February of 2019, and in March that we got closed down for COVID. So we were open for 1 month, and we have clawed to try to create a volunteer base and to educate the community in this amazing program, but we didn't make a whole lot of headway. And since Liberty's been here for just about a year, the work that's been done, the relationships and collaborations we've been able to build with the local church and even more community members and partnerships is blowing my mind. And we've just barely scratched the surface, because our hope is that we have four times the amount of volunteers this time next year, so that we don't ever have to say no to a need.
Now, Liberty, you mentioned working with DHS and some of the other groups. So what about some of the other nonprofit agencies you guys work with or kind of help each other out back and forth? Any of that?
There is. We have a variety of community groups that meet together on a regular basis. And so we have teamed up to provide support services or to maybe exchange clients with Safe Haven, Peace at Home. We partner with Creating Community Resilience, not always sharing clients, but sometimes training and support, as well as you can, especially with Head Start and their nurse home visiting services.
It seems like in this area that a lot of these organizations, and I've talked to folks from all of those, in the recent months, that everybody's really good around here about somebody comes in with a need and you realize, this agency is actually better suited for what they need. And I am told by friends who work in the biz, if you will, in what you guys do, that that's not always the case in some communities, that people tend to get, want to claim their own turf.
In the state of Oregon, and I've heard this from several people in the Portland area in charge of lots of particular government grants that all of us in the community are working with, the state's looking at Douglas County as their spearhead of how a community should work together. This is an amazing community that we're a part of and that we're able to wrap around. And most communities in the social work world or the biz, like you said, we kind of keep things to our own vest. We keep our piece of the pie, and we don't like it when people intervene in that lane. What we've learned here in Douglas County through crises and through community events that were disconnected that made us stronger, to realize how important each one of us are to helping families and children in crisis. So I see a community that's getting along, that's playing in the sandbox, so much different than the rest of the state of Oregon, and we're showing them how to do it, which is kind of cool, just here in Douglas County.
If people want to find out more about FARA, how do they do that?
That's great. You can go to our website, www.faraforkids.org. It'll give you all the information about all of our different programs. Our phone number, 541-229-0510. You call the front office. They'll get you connected with any one of our programs, with Safe Families or FARA for Youth Crisis. Feel free to give us an email. All of ours is Robert@FARAForKids.org and Liberty@FARAForKids.org.
All right, Robert Miller, Liberty Dryden, thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting us.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.